Hi everyone, and welcome to Filmmaking Life Podcast. So in this episode, we're going to have James Maddie on the podcast. And James is a kick-ass filmmaker that shoots commercials and sport videos. In this weird pandemic time, James has learned how to survive only from YouTube content since we are all in lockdown. So may I present to you James Maddie. How are you doing, bro?
Yo, what is good? Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm back home. I just want to say that we also have here Nick on the podcast with us. So it's a trio.
What's up, guys?
Absolute trio, mate. Love it.
Yeah.
It is truly a pleasure to have you on board here today, James.
Thanks, man.
I really think you're going to share so much priceless advices. So yeah, let's roll in.
Cheers, man. I really appreciate you guys having me.
So, James, I'm just going to ask with the most cliche question ever. How did you start filming?
Oh, mate. I was always into art. Like, art was my kind of thing, like painting, drawing, graffiti. I was always kind of like trying to do something artistic. Graffiti was like my main source of like artistic outlet, I guess. And then picked up a camera, started doing photography. Like most people, though, like, got into it through like BMXing, you know, same as you, Alexandre. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I rode BMX for a little bit, and at some point, like we all have to do, we have to take photos to get sponsors and things like that. It's the same with social media nowadays, and at some point you get better at it and you start like realizing that you can make something fun out of it. But one thing that I want to say about, you said you started with photography. This is one of the things that I realized and saw in the world, that a lot of good filmmakers have been photographers before. And this is like very important. And I want you to ask a little bit, what do you think photography is important when starting as a filmmaker? Why do you think it's important?
Well, For me, photography just taught me composition. Like that's photography is composition at the end of the day in terms of filmmaking. So if you're gonna take a still shot, you've mainly got to work out the exposure and the composition. Now, exposure is slightly different on when you're shooting film or video because your shutter speed is kind of that's your rule, really, isn't it? Like your shutter speed stays the same, and then you manipulate your kind of your ISO and your aperture to kind of give the look that you're going for. But with photography, it's mainly just that composition, you know? So I feel like people that can nail their composition can nail a composition in video. But the thing is, there's moving subjects in there. So it does get a little bit tricky compared to still photos. But you've kind of got a bit of a leg up if you've already started doing photography, especially obviously with composition. So, yeah.
Yeah, but you basically also have to tell a story in one frame, which is a little bit harder than video, because with video you have motion picture, but with photography it's a still frame that has to say a lot of things in one picture. And if you get right the composition, the colors, the mood and everything, then your picture is gonna say a story.
Absolutely, yeah. I feel like it's a little bit harder in that sense to do it, to tell a story for a photo, but it's obviously a very subjective, story. But I mean, if you can tell a story in a photograph, then you're going to be able to tell a story on video so much easier. But yeah, and I mean, them photographers get so much respect from me as well, you know, ones that can tell a story just through one shot. And I guess for me as well, like that inspires me quite a lot to tell a story just in one shot via video. Like I'm a massive fan of like single long shots, them kind of oneers, them big one takes that just look sick. If you can tell a story in one shot in video, I feel like you've nailed it. There's no need for tons of cuts and all of that kind of stuff, unless that's the kind of style that you're going for, which obviously I'm quite notorious for doing anyway. But yeah, I think people that can nail stuff in one shot have really got some serious like storytelling talent, you know?
Yeah, word. Yeah, you kind of saying it.
Beautiful. I can use that as a quote, to be honest with you, but that was beautifully narrative.
So basically, James, I've seen that you have a lot of followers on YouTube. You make a lot of crazy content there. What inspires you to post on YouTube and create those awesome videos? What is your source of inspiration behind this?
Well, YouTube is basically just a platform that you can pretty much post whatever the hell you want, you know? So for an artist or like a videographer, photographer, filmmaker, it's ideal because no one's telling you what to do. No one's kind of crafting your creative idea, your story. It's your story and you're allowed to do whatever the hell you want, you know? That's what I love about YouTube. So for me, a lot of people like will follow the views and try and create content that is very, very trendy, that gets a lot of attention and that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you got to realize why the hell you started YouTube. And that is just to tell stories that you want to tell, you know? And even if I do like a silly little tutorial, I always try and like add a little bit of story in there, just a little bit of me in there, just a bit of fun, you know? Because a tutorial is just a bit of information, you know, but if you can kind of put your own bit of creative spin on it, that's really what like inspires me. Give people some information, but also show them a little bit of story, a little bit of filmmaking talent, that kind of stuff, and have a bit of fun.
I think most creators are on a little bit the different path on YouTube. Like they are searching for the views, the fame and all that. And I totally get that because it's addicting. Like whenever you have thousands of views at one video and then you post something else that you worked for hours and it gets less views, then your brain tells you to do the same thing that got you more views, even though it's something that you're not so happy with it. And this is like the trap of YouTube, because you tend to go into those trendy stuff that you want to build and things like that, and you let your creative vision and creative side, creative part aside for views and fame. But at some point, for me, I think that what you said earlier is very important, because you have to go on your creative path, because those be creative that start trendy things, they are going on their own path. And because us followers see that those big people create something amazing, we want to do the same because we see that they have a lot of engagement and things like that. So if you manage to be creative with your style and your way of telling stories, then other people will think that your content is trendy, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. To be honest with you, I wish that like YouTube didn't have view counts on videos. Like the views and the views and the subscription like numbers, I think just completely takes the creativity out of YouTube. Like imagine if there wasn't any likes, there wasn't any views, there wasn't any like subscriptions. I feel like people would genuinely just put out their most creative side of content, you know, because it's so easy to try and chase them numbers when the content kind of takes a backseat. Whereas if the numbers weren't there, people would literally just be doing it for the passion of creating a really cool piece of content, a really cool story, you know. So I'm quite looking forward to the day that YouTube takes away numbers, man. Like, that would be so sick. Obviously, it won't work for YouTube, because YouTube works on trying to get people addicted and posting more, earning more money, earning YouTube more money, you know. So it won't work. It won't happen, but I would like it to go that way one day, you know.
Yeah, it probably will have the same fate as Instagram.
That is absolutely true, because here, for example, in Italy on Instagram, we don't have views and likes on Instagram. It's fully hidden. I don't know if you know that. So whenever I have to see how much I achieved, I go from the Google Chrome, but it's weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, from first experience, I've noticed that I'm more focused on content and less on what's the achievement of that, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I feel you absolutely right in what you just said, you know.
Yeah, well, I feel like every time I get a decent amount of like views, it kind of influences you a bit to like make something very similar, you know.
Right.
Whereas now I'm just trying to, every single video I upload, just think like, what do I want to make? Like, just listen to my mind, listen to what I'm kind of emitting into the world, and be like, right, what do I want to make today? Not what is going to do sick this week, you know, what's going to get all them views. So, yeah, that's what I try to do anyway.
It depends on how you view your YouTube account. If you view it as a business site, then you're obviously going to have
to
go for the views. But if you view it as your creative escape or a creative platform where you can post what the hell you want, then obviously you're going to go for the creative side of the things. One thing that I really want to ask you is... we all get to a point where our creativity and our storytelling gets shut down because we are probably in a bad mood or we are not thinking straight or things like that. How do you deal with creative blocks?
To be honest, I'm not very good with creative blocks, but I think now that I've been like making films for like 10 years, I've kind of noticed the trend with myself. Like, I'll have a creative block and I think, shit, I'm never ever going to get my creativity back again. And then 2 weeks later or 1 week or even like a couple of days later, I'm completely fine and I'm back to normal. So now every time I have like a creative block, I just have like trust in myself, knowing that, I'm in a bit of a state right now. I'm not going to be able to create anything cool, but I know deep down that it's going to come back now. Whereas before I'd never knew that, you know? So, I guess it just takes experience going through them different blocks to realize like what it's going to take to get you out of them. But for me, it's literally just stepping away, like step away from it, go out with friends, do general life things, stop being a creator for 24/7, be a human for a little bit, you know, like just go out, see friends, spend time with family, go out into nature. Nature's one of the most important things for me, and music. Music, specifically house and techno music, is kind of my outreach, I guess. Like, that's what I go to when I'm not feeling good or when I've got a creative block, because that for some reason is something to do with the rhythm that gets my mind thinking. That's what it is for me, man, the beats.
Yeah, I really noticed that you're listening to really good house music, and I really think you should make a playlist with the songs you listen to or the mix you listen to, because I will be the one who subscribes. So
yeah, well, I've got my Spotify playlist online, and I've got like quite a few of the people from YouTube have started to go and listen to it. So yeah, I've been doing like these color grading chill sessions on YouTube where we just listen to some sick beats and we just color grade like some shots, and it's so much fun, mate. So yeah, I've made like a color grading chill playlist, so that's good fun.
Nice. So everyone that's on the podcast, we're going to put a link with James' playlist in the description.
Yeah, if you want to come and jam out to some beats with me, I'll be there, mate. I'll be there. I'm basically there all day, every day.
So I'm going to go back a little bit on what you said about getting a break. And I really want to point this out, that it's like really important to focus your attention on something else from time to time and come back with like a fresh state of mind and all that. So what I do whenever I feel like creative block, I tend to go out with a bike outside and just accelerate to the maximum and just think at nothing else. And whenever I come home, I feel like super relaxed and a lot of crazy ideas come to me. But one of the things that I realized is, for example, when I have creative blocks and I have a project that I have to attend to, I tend to go to the project unprepared, which is not a good thing to do and I don't recommend it. But when I'm when I'm going to a project unprepared, I realize that I am more creative on the spot than I am while preparing like for days for a project. And all my crazy projects came from being unprepared, which is not a good advice to give here on the podcast, but for me it works. So I am more creative when I'm working with less. This is one of the things that I realized. If you give me like 100 lights, everything that I need, every like thing is perfect on set, then I'm not going to be creative. If I have things that are missing, or if there's an actor that's not coming, or if the camera is broke and we have to use other cameras and things like that, that is where my creativity shines. And I don't know why it's working like that, but this is one of the things that works for me. So
yeah, nice. That's awesome. Yeah,
that's kind of superpower.
Yeah, I think that's experience, man. I think because you've had so much experience on set, it's all like, for me, I feel like 90% of filmmaking is just problem solving. You know, when you're on set, you're not actually, you're not like actually making your vision happen. You're basically just eliminating every issue that is there that's in the way of making your vision happen, you know? So for me, that is one of the, that's one of the biggest things when you go on set, and you only learn to eliminate them issues once you've done it over and over and over and you've repeated yourself. Because once an issue comes up, you're like, wait a second, that's happened before, I know how to solve that, you know? And then you just solve them issues quicker.
Yeah, it's all about experience. And it's also all about being a good handyman, because I think like most of the filmmakers know how to build stuff. Like, we know how to improvise, even though, like, I realized if you put me to do another job, which is something totally different than what I do, I can do it. Because filmmaking helps your mind do things that are creative. You like, you can get away from any situation possible just by being a filmmaker, because you learn how to escape unwanted situations, you know? So,
yeah.
So I feel like what you just said is like, we used to, as James also said, we used to be a problem solved, which is something that we develop by time, right? And by developing by time, you can do whatever you want in a different field, so other than photography and filmmaking, that is going to help you do what you want, right, Alex? So
yeah, I feel like a lot of the things you learn on set, like, you can actually bring into the household, you know? Like, it's so hands-on. Like, you're constantly using grip equipment, you're constantly using tools, you're constantly using, like, duct tape, like, gaffer tape, camera tape, you know? So I feel like, if you're really good with your hands, if you're a handy person, then you're going to have a massive advantage on set, especially in the camera department, you know?
That is totally true. So one thing I really appreciate about James is that he produces an amazing content, but with just a couple of things on a gear side, right? Like, how do you even come up with that? Like, what is your secret, basically?
Well, the secret was I didn't have any money. So, like, I've just got to do what I can do, you know? So
yeah, fair enough.
When you first start out, like, you haven't got any dough. So you just have to work with what you've got. And ever since working with pretty much nothing, when I used to, like, literally make a glide cam, you know, like the little steady cams, I used to make those, like, out of PVC pipes and weights and that kind of stuff.
Oh, gosh.
And I feel like, yeah,
I would love to see that. Yeah.
Hopefully I've got one lying about. I'll see if I can find one. But I feel like that's just now moved over to the rest of my filmmaking style. Like, I prefer to just use things that aren't traditionally meant to be used for that particular style or that kind of video, you know? So I'm constantly just trying to make do with what I can or what I've got, you know, instead of just trying to get the most expensive gear, the most expensive cameras. The things that are the most valuable, are most valuable to me, are location and the talent. Like, in my opinion, everyone wants to spend their money on cameras, man. Invest your money on locations and talent, and your film is going to be 20 times better than if it was shot on an Arri Alexa LF, you know?
That is absolutely true. And the one thing I realize now, with all the gear I can be accessible, is that I wish I knew at the beginning that gear is not that important. Like, yeah, it helps you, let's be honest. It helps you do the things quicker, but it's not like the essential thing. So, James, my question is like, what do you want to share with the audience and with us that you wish you know when you started at first place?
What did I wish I knew?
That was a hard question.
That is a really hard question, because I thought about this question before. I wish I knew. To be honest, I don't know, because I feel like I've gone through the whole process, like, pretty smoothly. I don't know how. I I feel like just listen to your gut and make content that you want to make, not what the system wants you to make. So the system is telling you to make this kind of content because you know traditionally it does well, you know? So you've seen 20 different car commercials that all look the same. You've seen 20 different food commercials that all look the same. That doesn't mean that for you to make a good commercial in one of these fields, you have to make it look the same as these like commercials that have done well. Listen to yourself and know that all of these incredible filmmakers that have already had their time, it's your time now. Now you make something that you want to make with your own style and don't listen to anyone else. Just listen to your gut and make what you want to make, you know?
That is absolutely true, because and at the end of the day, it may sound, you know, very easy what you just said, but it takes like an ages to achieve
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, it's so hard, man.
And we are like bombarded on social media of every influencer as a filmmaker that does his own style, and then everybody does it, and we are kind of, it's hard, you know?
Yeah, man.
It's hard to go on another road. So yeah, just focus on being unique, because that is that is one of the essential thing that you have to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like just listen to your heart and make content that you deep down want to make, because when it's all said and done, like when you've finished your career and that's kind of it, like you want going to look back at the work that you've made, and you want to look back and be like, I made what I want to make, not, oh, I just followed what does well, what traditionally does well. You know, you want to look back and look at your films and be like, holy shit, I put my heart and soul into them projects, you know?
Gosh, I really love what you just said, because it's priceless, you know what I mean? Because when you get old and you look back what you just did, like, oh God, I did something, man, that I truly love, you know, and it stays there to inspire
people. It's going to happen to everyone as well. It's not like it's only going to happen to a few people. We're all going to get old and we're all going to be in that position, and we're going to be like, did I do it or did I not do it?
Definitely. You know? So what do you think, Alex, about this?
So I think that it's like really hard to make project after project after project. It's really hard to make your projects be the ones that you want every time. So you have to, your projects will be like ups and downs. Not all the projects, most of the project that you expect to be the projects of your career will not be the projects of your career. And the projects that you don't think they will be like super great and awesome, those are the projects that are going to succeed. It's really weird, because like I have...
It is totally, yeah.
I have projects that I shot like 2 or 3 years ago, and I look at them and I think like, damn, I was shooting much better then than now. Or I was like thinking way different then than now. So it's really weird, because filmmaking is an art when as more information you get to know, and as more experience you get to know, you realize how hard it is. When you're at the beginning, you don't have those limitations regarding camera specs, lighting equipment, and everything, like all those rules of filmmaking. You don't know them. You just want to create. You just want to take your camera, go out there, and tell a story. And as more as you turn into a pro, you have those specification limitations, or I don't know, not specifications, but
yeah,
you get the
I
point.
Agree with you.
Like those guidelines that you have to respect, and it will get harder and harder to get creative as more you're going towards being pro.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of respect the guidelines of filmmaking more the higher up you go, right? So you, like, as you were saying, like with specifications, like with cameras, you know that really the shot you're trying to get should be shot this way to make it traditional and to make it work the best it should. But because you haven't necessarily got that tool, you think, oh, maybe I won't do it this way. I'll do it a slightly different way, in a way that I know I can with the equipment I've got. Whereas when you're slightly lower down, you just do it anyway with what you've got, you know, and you don't really care.
Yeah, there's one quote that I want to mention to everybody. It's like, I don't remember who said that, but you have to learn like filmmaking or master the art of filmmaking, but then the rules are made to be broken, you know what I mean? And as we started at the beginning, we didn't even know the rules, what we have. So we kind of broke it till the beginning. And so this is what I'm going back to Alex, because he said he was even better when he started than now, than he knows the rules and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you're not afraid to fail, because you're not failing, because you don't know where the fail point is. And what I want to say is that with all those rules that you have when you grow as a filmmaker and you literally learn new things every day, you put yourself into a box at some point. And it's really scary to go outside of this box, because you might think, oh, what do people will think about me if I put this content out there? Or you're afraid of making mistakes because people will say, oh my God, this guy didn't cut the video where it should be cut, or he screwed the music a little bit, or things like that. So because we are so afraid of failing, we're not being so creative. That's my thought. And we also have all those crazy high budget videos out there that a lot of high-end professionals do, and we take those as our examples, and we at some point get really sad because we cannot recreate those. But most of the stuff that you see online or you see made by professionals are like months or years put into it, and we want to make it like in 2 days or 3 days, and we get disappointed, and we want to just forget about
one
filmmaking.
Thing. You're constantly comparing your work to other people's work, and that is like super toxic, man. Like, it's not good for your own style, and it's not good for your legacy of work, you know.
I feel like it is good, you know, to watch everybody's movie and films and get inspired, but I feel you have to give your own piece of soul and art you have. And at the end of the day, I just want to point out that failure is one of the greatest thing that can happen to us, because of the failure, we can get a lot of better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the most important thing when you're starting out. Like, it's almost like every film is, not every film is a failure, but it's the same learning lessons every time you make a single film. Because every time you make a film, I don't care, like, well, in my opinion, no matter how high up you are, how much budget you've got, there will always be one little thing in that film that you're like, I could have got that better, or I should have done it this way, or I could have slightly changed it here, or I could have spent more time in the sound design, in the edit, you know? Exactly. And that, on your next project, you're not going to do that again, you know? So every single time you make a film, you're getting better. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, totally agree. There is always something.
Yeah, man. Every time.
So basically, I want to ask you a question regarding how... So obviously, you post a lot of content online and you're very active and all that. How do you manage your time, and how do you manage to stay so productive?
To be honest, I don't feel like I'm the most productive person ever. So... most of the time, obviously before COVID-19, constantly shooting for loads of different clients, mainly doing client work, and then once every 3 weeks I'd then post a YouTube video. Now obviously with COVID-19, I'm basically making a video a week at the moment. So YouTube is my main platform. Instagram is kind of like a secondary thing for me to have a laugh and have fun with, like, my followers and subscribers and whatever. So I don't really see that as like my platform. It's more of like a communication platform for me to meet people like you lot, for example. Whereas YouTube is my main platform. So I'm not actually putting out tons of content. I post on Instagram maybe like once every 2 weeks, and then I'll post on YouTube once every week or once every 2 weeks. Because I really don't want to be kind of that person who posts YouTube content every 3 days, every 4 days, because you just know that that content's going to be a standard vlog, or it's going to be a very, very quick tutorial, or it's going to be like, you kind of know what I mean. The kind of people that post every 3 days, I've got loads of respect for them because that is hard work, man. But for me, that'd just be labor. Like, oh God, I've got to make a video in 2 days, got to make a video. Whereas I like to sit back, relax, wait until the idea, wait till the story comes, and then have that actual passion to make it, not, oh, I've got to make a video for my audience, you know?
Yeah, I think what you said, it puts like creators into two different categories, the ones that chase the business side of YouTube and the ones that chase the creative
Absolutely.
Part. Because we all have this idea about YouTubers that they earn a lot of money and they make a lot of money, or they don't make a lot of money. And I really want to get this thing clear. If you are a business person and you know how to make money, you're going to be making a lot of money from YouTube, because there are a lot of ways to make money from YouTube. And I'm just going to give you two examples. For example, you can get money from advertising on your videos, and based on the country where you're at, the money is going to be bigger. And from example, in the States, the CPR or CPR, I don't know exactly how it's called, it has the highest rate in the world, I think. And for those people, imagine if they have 1 million views, they obviously gonna have a much higher rate per view, so they're gonna earn more money. And the other thing is through collaborations. And I saw that you, James, do a lot of brand collaborations, but the way that you do those brand collaboration is very unique, and I really like the style. At some point, you did a collaboration with a laptop brand, and you made it so, so crazy. Like, I enjoyed that video so much. So I really want to see exactly how do you work with brands, and what is your approach? How do you implement your style with the brand that you're working with?
Yeah, nice. Well, I guess I'm quite lucky. I mean, my YouTube channel's got like 170K at the moment, but I get so many, and I guess everyone does, I get so many brands reaching out to me. I don't actually reach out to the brands. Like, I don't think I've ever, any of the brands I've ever worked with, I don't think I've ever reached out to them. That doesn't mean to say that I don't want to. Like, I don't want to work with that particular company, but that every collaboration I've done, and I mean, I can only really put the collaborations I've done, I can only really fit on one or two hands. You know, I've only done maybe 6 or 7 actual collaborations. And the ones that I have done, I've been using the product before I do the collaboration, you know, and I feel like that is what makes them reach out to me, because they see me using their product and they're like, oh, that's cool, let's see if James wants to do a collaboration, you know. It's not like I'd just reach out to a brand that I've never used. And I don't really know, I just get emails, man, and I then reply to the ones that I already use, or ones that I don't use that I'd like to try out and see if I do resonate with the product, and if I actually find that the product actually makes me a better filmmaker or makes my process easier. And then I would think about actually working with them. But I'm quite lucky. I think as soon as you get a certain amount of numbers, or you have a certain amount of creativity that big brands like, that's when they're like, right, let's get this person on board. Let's see what they can create. Because I'm quite lucky. I haven't got like huge YouTube numbers, but I have seemed to have had the bigger brands reach out to me. Whereas I know people that are a lot bigger than I am, but they don't seem to get the size of the brands that I do. I don't know if that has anything to do with the creativity. So I assume it might just be storytelling side. Maybe they want like a more deeper story instead of like a really quick tutorial, you know, or a quick unboxing video, that kind of thing. But yeah, I think the whole reason for that is just content, like content over everything. Content is king. Make good content, and then the brands are going to reach out to you eventually at the end of the day, because it's a win-win for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, I think based even on my experience working with so many brands around the world, that they already know who and what do you make at the end of the day, and what people likes. And even if you have no numbers that much compared to the others, like millions of numbers, they care, but not that, it's not the crucial thing, you know what I mean? So they would rather have less views, but more quality of the content, so more storytelling, more to have on board some person like you that is likely lovable and, you know, just have his own personality that can share with the world. Because at the end of the day, you have to represent that brand and they just want the best that they can get. You know what I mean? So numbers are important, but it's not the only thing. So, like, right.
Yeah, I feel like bigger brands look for quality content, whereas the smaller brands just are like, right, who's going to get us the most return on our investment, you know? So the smaller brands will just go straight to influencer marketing or social media marketing, and they'll think, who is going to get us the most amount of sales? Whereas the bigger brands don't necessarily need the sales. They're like, who do we want to add to our community brand? Like, what is our brand saying as a community, or as what is our brand saying as an ethos?
Yes, but that is the biggest thing that is the big reason why there's big brands and why there's small brands. Because if you think big brands want to build a message, want to build a story behind their products, and at the end of the day, this is what it sells to people, not the numbers. So they realize that it's not about salesmen, because if you focus on create a good story that people feel a part of it, you will sell a lot. Like, let's be honest, man. Like, you will sell a lot, and those who only just want to make numbers, after a few years, they look back and they just see like what content the people with numbers they made them, and what message they give to people, and like, oh gosh, it is not, you know, it is not win to win, to be honest.
Absolutely. Like, for me, I always look, there's a company that I've done quite a lot, well, I've done quite a lot of work with them over the last 3 or 4 years, you know, Gymshark.
Yes, definitely.
So they've got, in my opinion, they've got like one of the best cultures around their brand. And like every time I go to work with them, every time I go on set with them or I work at their HQ, the community is the most important thing, and the culture is the most important thing. And they never really see, right, where can we make the most amount of sales? It's like, where can we benefit our audience the most? Where can we add the most amount of value to our audience, to our customers? And that, I think, is something that the bigger brands
the
look
image.
At, whereas the smaller brands, yeah. So the smaller brands just want return, but the bigger brands want to create a feeling and create a culture with their customers. So, when it comes to brand collaborations, I mean, you can't pick and choose which ones you have, but it's good when you've got ones that trust you and your vision and want you to be a part of that culture.
Exactly. I just want to make an example, like huge example, between like Apple and Android. Like, they're fighting together who's better. At the end of the day, if we were to be honest, Samsung, like, hardware make good, like, better than iPhone, because they have a lot of things accessible. But the Apple is not focusing on making the best device. They are focusing on the community, on the message, on the story behind. And that is what they made them sell. And that is what they made them, as you said, community.
Yeah, you basically have to create a lifestyle. So people want to live like you show them how to live, you know, like you said, Gymshark, like everyone that is on Gymshark team, everyone looks super ripped. Everyone is always smiling. Everyone is strong and powerful. So you want to be like them, because you see everyone that is there is like super happy, and they work out, they work a lot and things like that. So they're selling a lifestyle, you know. And if you wear their clothes, you might feel like them, you know. It's the same with gear. That's why one of the things that I really like a lot, and I think it's super impressive, is the way that Red sells their equipment. So from my point of view, Red cameras aren't the best. But the way that they're marketing their cameras make them feel that they could be the best, you know. And even though I don't enjoy shooting on Reds, it makes me want to have one just to be in their lifestyle, you know?
Yeah,
just
be a
to
part
be as
of
cool
it.
As, yeah, you know, it makes you cool if you own a Red, you know? That's the mindset that they are selling. You
absolutely,
know?
Yeah.
So that's why I think DJI does the same.
Yeah, I think DJI are awesome, man. Really, really cool brand. Their products are 10 out of 10 as well, so.
But one of the brands that I really feel that it's coming really strong from behind and makes good products and good looking products and also started to have a really good marketing campaigns is Zhiyun Tech.
Zhiyun, yes. Yeah, man.
Yeah. I really feel that they're shifting a lot their way of thinking and the way that they build products and the way that they communicate.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in contact with them. Like, they're one of the brands that I work with, and I am lucky enough to the point where before they launch a product, they'll send the product to a few people. So they'll send one to me, and then a few others, and they'll get feedback from actual users. And then they'll make the changes to the product and whatever, which is really, really cool. So I've got to really respect brands that do that because they really obviously care about like the customer experience, the actual how good the product is in the actual hands of someone who's going to be using it, you know? So yeah, man, Zhiyun is sick.
So James, I saw that. James, I see that you... This is my YouTube routine, man. This is what I do every time. I keep replying the same thing over and over again until it makes... I do it right. It's because it's not my native language, so I hope you understand. So, okay, so basically, James, I see that you travel a lot. You have a lot of other friends that are creators, and when you travel with them, you guys make incredible content, and I really enjoy watching your travel videos. And even though you travel a lot, you also make a partnership with gear and travel, and you bind them together, and you make amazing videos. Like, I saw that you made at one point a Zhiyun commercial, and you climbed on the top of the mountain, and that video was so epic. And I really want to talk about your travels and your company, because I know that you have a t-shirt company, and it's also hoodies now. I've seen that you released some hoodies. So let's talk about travel and clothing.
Cool. So like for me, one of my biggest inspirations is locations. So if I can get to go to a new location, new people, new atmosphere, and light as well, obviously, like I'm a massive fan of like a sunrise and a sunset, like most shooters are, though, you know.
Sound squad.
Yeah,
me too.
But if I can go to a brand new location, get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, head out to the spot that we've planned to hit the night before, hit that spot, hopefully get good light, you never know kind of what the formations the clouds are going to be in, you might get a beautiful light scene, and just exploring somewhere new with other like-minded people that want to shoot amazing content, and then if you get the opportunity to like stick a brand in there as well that actually allows you to create a story around a campaign or a concept that you've had, and that's kind of what I've done with that the Zhiyun campaign that you're talking about, Alexandru. So I don't know if you noticed, but there's only like two shots of the actual product in the film, you know, so that's the cool thing about some of these brands. Like if you can get the brand to trust you enough to the point where you can just tell a story, not oh, get 100 million shots of our product, just push the product. If you can tell a story and give like an atmosphere and a feeling to the audience, that for me is like the best thing you can do. So that's why in a lot of the travel films I do, it's not always about like a pushing a product or a brand, or it's just go and tell a story and then show how the brand or the product helps you do what you do, essentially. But yeah, man, I'm quite lucky that I get to travel with some really cool friends and we get to go some really cool places, man. And I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't travel, mate. Like, I don't know what I'd do.
I can confidently say, like, I totally feel you, because I have the same background as you for traveling. And the amazing thing about traveling is that it's all day adventure, and it's challenging, and it's, you know, and it pushes you to the limit. So like you have to be creative even if you don't want. Like, it's not forced, but it's definitely something that, you know, helps you tell the amazing story about even that place or even the adventure you're doing. And by doing this automatically, it is to be honest, very easy to you know, market the brand inside, because it's natural. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to, you know, hey, I'm using this brand. You know, you're just using it and share with the community. And that is, I think, the most genuine, authentic way to even promote the brand besides.
Yeah, man. And that's like, as Alexandre said about like the clothing brand I've got, it's actually called Search and Create. So it ties into searching the world for these amazing locations, searching the world for your inspiration, that kind of stuff. And then once you found it, just create. That's the whole point of the brand. So obviously we do t-shirts, hoodies, and it all started from like when I started YouTube like 5 years ago. It was shit, what do I wear in my videos? Like, I didn't know what to wear because I didn't know, should I try and appeal to my clients? So should I wear something like relatively smart, or should I be myself and wear kind of dressed down, wear casual clothing? And I was like, oh my God, like, I've got this idea for a t-shirt. Let me see if I can make it. Made like three versions of it. And then I was like, this is sick. And it wasn't even to sell. It was just like something for me to wear. And then about a year and a half later, I was like, you know what? People are really liking this t-shirt. Loads of people asking me where I got it. And I was like, you know what? Let me see if I can like make a little community brand that like basically just shows that the creator that's wearing it is proud to create content and proud to be a creator. So that's the whole point of the clothing brand, I guess. So it ties in quite nicely to travel because it's all about searching, and then once you found it, creating, you know?
Beautiful. Yeah, it actually totally makes sense. But at the same time, it's the message that I really love that you are sharing with all of us creators.
Sick, man. Yeah, we've actually got quite an interesting, like, what shall I say? We've got like an interesting thing coming up that we're doing, right?
I almost forget because I was really into your story. Yeah, we cannot say what is going on, what is cooking on, but we definitely are launching something epic for the filmmakers community.
Yeah, man.
And let's keep it suspension, you know, what a mystery, but you guys are going to love it.
Yeah, man.
And I think
cool
it will change. I wouldn't say it will change the industry, but it will like definitely make things amazing.
Yeah, man. I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully very, very soon.
One thing I want to say, and you both said that you subscribe to the fact that you like to travel and you like to explore and create and all that. I'm not the same, honestly. I mean, I like to travel, but when I travel, I honestly don't like to film videos. I like only to take photographies because I film every day and I shoot a lot of commercials. And mostly when I do film, I get stressed because I work under pressure and I have clients on set and things like that. And I associate sometimes filming with stress. So when I go traveling, I like to take photographies. Since I don't have photography jobs, photography makes me feel relaxed. So, and also, you know, also you explore a different types of creating because you create video every day. Then when you take your camera into your hand, then you have to create stills and it's a different process and it's something different. So whenever I travel, I like to relax by taking photographies. Yeah. But that is
the real beauty. You know, that is the real beauty about being different, being creative and being totally unique, right, Alex?
Yeah, well, it's like it depends kind of what trip I'm going on. If I'm going on a trip to create content, if I'm traveling to create content, then it's fine. But if I'm going on a trip to unwind, for example, if it's a holiday, the only holidays I really have is like Ibiza. So if I'm going to like Ibiza or something like that, something to do with music, because obviously music is my biggest passion outside of filmmaking, then I won't be shooting. It's almost like I'm shooting everything on this trip or I'm shooting nothing, you know? So yeah. That's the kind of way I look at going on trips. I either expect to be shooting sunrise to sunset every day, or I'm not picking up my camera at all, or I don't even take it. Well, I always take it with me, but you know.
Yeah, you can create amazing content even with your iPhone. So
yeah, man, big time.
It is like getting addicted, right?
Yeah.
One last question before we end this podcast, because we are almost approaching 1 hour of talking. So One thing that I really want to ask you, and it's a little bit more technical question, is what will be, from your point of view, the perfect camera? Like, what settings, what body size, and what do you think it will be the perfect?
A7S Mark III, bro. the perfect camera. I feel like the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 6K is close, but it's got so many... I mean, I think the perfect camera would be Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 6K with internal ND filters, in-body image stabilization, a big battery, and a rotating screen. I mean,
you basically described Canon EOS R5.
Oh yeah, it is very, very close to the Canon EOS R5. But to be honest, mate, you use different cameras. They're just tools. They're different tools work better for different projects, you know. So the perfect camera, it's the one you've got on you, man. That is the most cliche thing I've ever said in my entire life, and I'm gonna really regret that. But it's the one you've got with you, mate, at the end of the day. A camera's a camera. Don't get emotional. Don't get all worried about your camera. It's a camera, mate. Just get over it. Shoot something cool. The thing that you're shooting is so much more important than the camera itself, man. Just get over it, you know? That's all I've got to say about the camera side.
James, you obviously know a lot of stuff about filmmaking, and you have provided us with tons of awesome and creative feedback. So I'm really happy we got to have this podcast with you. And I'm really curious about the people back home, what they thought about this podcast and if they liked it. And maybe they can ask some questions about our next podcast, what you guys want to know and what should we do on the next topic. Also, James... I'm really curious, a few plans that you have for the future. What should we expect from you? What would be the next content you're going to drop and things like that?
Ooh, next content. I've got a film coming up in July that I am really looking forward to shooting. I can't say too much about what it is yet, but it's going to be, if it all goes to plan, it's going to be a film that is really, what's the word? It's really, it's a really good passion project for me. Like, it's a really, really deep passion project that I've wanted to make for a while. So, fingers crossed that goes to plan. And other plans, I really want to focus on the brand. I really want to focus on the Search and Create brand, finding different ways that I can give creators value, find areas of the community that aren't serviced well, give people more opportunities, job opportunities, just work on the brand to give people more value, basically. That's the plan. And then obviously build the YouTube channel, have fun on YouTube, make fun content, yeah, you know? Cool. So, yeah.
So guys, I really suggest you subscribe to James Matthews' channel on YouTube and keep a close eye on what he's going to release and drop in the future, because he's going to make some fire content and you will not be disappointed. So, we're already above almost an hour of the podcast, and I'm gonna have to close this podcast down, because this podcast was way too far, and we need to keep the fire going for the next podcast. Yeah. So I really want to thank all of you for tuning into this podcast and hearing our amazing conversation with our talented guest, James Matthew. And until next time, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, leave us a comment, and be sure to stick around for some more awesome content. So peace out.